Welcome to the Calvary Chapel South Bay Sermon Podcast. We are a large, multi-ethnic, multi-generational church in Los Angeles, California, and we'd love to have you visit us for a service if you're in the LA area. Visit ccsouthbay.org to learn more about us and to find out service times. If you have any questions, shoot us an email at hello@ccsouthbay.org. Enjoy today's sermon, and we hope to see you at church soon.
Have you ever needed Jesus just to show up? There's a promise that's found in Scripture that He will never leave us or forsake us. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This past Thursday, we started a three-part series, Jesus Shows Up. Because He always does. We learned this past Thursday that there the disciples were after the resurrection, filled with fear and anxiety, and Jesus came into the midst of it, because that's what He does. And within that scripture in John chapter 20, we actually found a secret to finding peace. You'll see a slide go on the screen, and maybe you'll take a picture of it, and maybe you'll go back to Thursday night if you weren't there, to know in your fear, in your anxiety, in your worry, Jesus will show up. It's just what He does. But we're going to see it's not just in the place of fear and anxiety. Jesus will show up in our unbelief and our struggle of faith. Jesus will show up even when we've gotten off course. We're going to be in John's Gospel chapter 20 if you have your Bible. And if you don't, there should be one in the seat back pocket there in front of you. And as you're turning there, I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer to prepare our hearts. Father, we come before You in Jesus' name, thankful. Thankful for what You did at Easter. But now we find ourselves 7 days from that day. And Lord, we had to go back into our world. And so, Lord, we just pray that today, in this room, in this place, You'd show up. You'd minister. Because You've made a promise that You will never leave us or forsake us. In the same way that You were there for the disciples, I believe You're there for us. You always show up. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. The disciples spent 40 days with Jesus after the resurrection. We got to see in a moment this past Thursday that when Jesus showed up, it was when they were fearful and anxious. And over the course of that 40 days, He taught them things that, well, we've always wondered, what in the world did He teach them? But we actually know. And if you want to know, you're going to have to come Thursday for part three of our three-part series. Because Jesus taught them about the Holy Spirit, and then He taught them about the filling of the Holy Spirit. And this Thursday, we're going to have the privilege to understand and to learn and to know more about the filling power of the Holy Spirit of God. But Jesus promised in His word that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He doesn't just show up in our anxious moments. Oh, no, no, no. Jesus will also show up in our unbelief. So don't give up on the one that didn't come to Easter with your invite, because Jesus has not given up on them either. It's John chapter 20. Would you take a look as we look at Thomas in verse 24? John chapter 20, verse 24. Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to Him, "We've seen the Lord." Thomas ain't having it. So He said to them, "Unless I see in His hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into His side, I will not believe." You got to understand what Thomas has been through. His buddy Judas has betrayed the whole group. He also betrayed the Lord, and the one that he looked up to, Jesus Christ, is now dead. And if Judas could lie, if Judas can deceive, how in the world can I trust what any one of you have to say? He goes, "Listen, I'm not falling for that shenanigan. I'm not giving into it. Listen, Judas betrayed, and if he betrayed, maybe you're betraying. So he says, listen, I am not going to believe. He's not struggling with doubt. He says, I will not believe. Doubt is, well, maybe it is and maybe it isn't. But he is very sure in his footing, I will not believe. And he makes a very specific request. Unless I put my finger into that scar in his hands and in his side, I will not believe, all the while not realizing that Jesus is listening to every word that Thomas has to say. Take a look. It's John chapter 20, verse 26. And after 8 days, and the Jewish way of counting, that would have been the week later. And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came. He showed up. The doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace. And this is singular. He's speaking to Thomas. Peace to you. Then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands. Reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. First thing I need you to see here is Jesus heard every word that Thomas had to say. Thomas said, unless I put my finger into that scar, Jesus goes, go ahead, let me see your finger. You can put it right here. Go ahead, let me see your finger. You can put it on my side. Thomas, I heard what you said because I'm alive. Can I tell you something, church? Jesus hears every word we say. Good ones and bad ones. He hears edifying ones like, oh, Pastor Chet preached a good sermon. But he also hears destructive ones, like when you go to lunch and serve up a dish of Pastor Chet. Can you believe he said that? Oh, he's listening. Just putting it out there. He's listening to our words that encourage others, and he's listening to our words that discourage others. He listens when we say potty words. And he listens when we say pious words. He hears them all. And listening into Thomas, because he's alive, graciously, he once again enters into this defiant lack of faith. And he says to Thomas, peace to you. I need to let you know something. Our God is a lot bigger than what we give him credit for. Do you know that he can handle your lack of faith? Do you know that he can handle your struggle of faith? Do you know that he can handle when people don't have faith at all? How many of you have ever struggled in faith? You've had a lack of faith, or you doubted, or you wrestled with faith. Who's had? Go ahead, raise your hand. I want you to see. Look at all of you doubter Thomases. You see, the truth of Scripture is that God is bigger than we give him credit for. He can handle our lack of faith, because we need to remember something. He will remain faithful when we have no faith. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13, you don't need to turn there. Listen to what Paul said. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He can't deny himself. Earlier in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul gives the definition of God. Our God is faithful. He can't deny himself. He will always be who he is, even if you are faithless. He's faithful to seek those who are faithless. He is faithful to build up those who are struggling with faith. He will always show up in our moments and our struggle with the power of the resurrection to pronounce God's peace over our life. Jesus always shows up. He always shows up. Now, there's something you need to know about Jesus. There's something that you need to know about Jesus that was true of him then and true of him now. He will always show up where you're at, but he loves you too much to leave you there. Did you hear me? He will always show up where you're at, but he loves you too much to leave you there. That's why he said to Thomas, do not be unbelieving, but believing. You see, Jesus has a job to do. And the job that he has is to sanctify you with his truth. His word is truth. So Jesus shows up and he speaks to Thomas exactly what he needed when he needed it. Because Jesus is the ministry of grace and truth. So he'll meet you where you're at with his grace. Peace to you, Thomas. To you, Thomas. I'm showing up to you. Peace to you. And he ministers first with his grace, but he always comes with his truth. He loves you so much that even in your struggle of faith, he will meet you there, but he will always give you the truth because this is the ministry of Jesus. And look how Thomas responds in John chapter 20, verse 28. And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Look how he responds. Jesus knew exactly what to do. Jesus knew exactly what to say, and Jesus knew exactly when to say it a whole week later when Thomas was able to receive it. He wasn't able to receive it the week before, and now he's able to receive it, and Jesus knows it because Jesus always shows up at the right time. He always knows what to say. He always knows when to say it. And he always knows exactly what to do. And I trust me, church, he will show up in your lack of faith, in your struggle of faith, with a word of peace so that he can give you the word of truth. It's just what Jesus does. It's just what he does. Now, John chapter 20, would you take a look? John chapter 20, would you look at verse 29? So Jesus then says to him, "Thomas, because you've seen me, you've believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, that's key, which are not written in this book. Now, I know you may have a divide between verse 29 and 30, but there were no divides in when John was writing this book. And you can't read verse 29 without reading verse 30 because verse 30 helps us understand verse 29. Jesus showed up many times for the disciples. Before he died, told them three times. Three times he said he was going to die and raise again. He rose Lazarus from the grave so they could actually see a resurrection. Then after, he told the women, they went and told the disciples. He showed up to the couple walking on the road to Emmaus. They went back and told him. Jesus showed up physically to the disciples and they did not believe. He showed up for them. And with everything they'd seen and everything they heard, the physical God-man Jesus, they didn't believe. Now don't give them a hard time. Because Jesus is still being very patient with his people today. I got a question for you. How many of you know something in your life that you know you need to change and you've not changed it yet? I want to see your hands. Go ahead. You know it needs to change. You're not changing. I want to see it. Oh, you guys weren't going to raise your hand unless I looked. Okay, then we're going to do it again, like a wave. How many of you know there's something in your life that need? Okay. Bunch of sinners. And how many sermons do you need to hear before it changes? And how many friends need to tell you that? In fact, you raise your hand confidently. You actually know you haven't changed. So don't be so hard on the disciples. Even though they were told by the word of God, they heard the sermons of Jesus, they eyewitnesses came, we sometimes give them a hard time, but yet we've got to see that Jesus is still being patient with us today. He's still dealing with us today. How many ways has Jesus tried to get the word across to us? To get us to see things his way. To get us to live the life that he wants us to live. Now let me tell you something about Jesus. You can be confident of this. That he who began a good work in you, he will complete that work. I need to let you know something about Jesus. He's got a harder head than you. Did you hear me? He's got a harder head than you. And he's going to get your attention one way or the other. And he gets Thomas's attention by showing up in that room. But now he gives him a spiritual spanking. Remember, Jesus is going to get your attention one way or the other. And he's either going to come into the room with peace or he's going to come in the room as a good father to discipline the child that he loves. And he's basically telling Thomas, with all that you've seen, with all that you've heard, and yet you don't believe? Do you know, Thomas, There are going to be millions of people who have not seen, and yet they will believe. This is a spiritual spanking to Thomas. Let me tell you what the blessing is. Over 2,000 years later, I had the privilege this Easter to lead over 300 people to the throne room of Jesus Christ. What a blessing. They've never seen the resurrection. They've never seen the God-man Jesus, but yet something happened in them to cause them to get up in front of thousands of people when they heard the word and come forward and give their life to Jesus. Do you know what the blessing is? The blessing is the ministry of the Spirit who's at work in the life of unbelievers even today, convincing unbelievers that though you've not seen the resurrection, Jesus is alive. That's the power of this blessing. I'm going to prove it to you. Turn with me over to John chapter 16. I'm going to prove it to you. John chapter 16, I'm going to show you in John chapter 16, verse 7, the ministry and the power of the blessing of the Holy Spirit. John 16, now verse 7. Nevertheless, Jesus speaking, I tell you the truth. It's to your advantage that I go away. For if I don't go away, the Helper will not come to you. Speaking of the Holy Spirit, the blessing. But if I depart, I'll send him to you. Now look what he does. And when he's come, he will be convincing the world. He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin? Because they don't believe in me. They're unbelievers. Of righteousness? Because I'm going to the Father and you're not going to see me anymore. Of judgment? Because the ruler of this world is judged. Jesus is letting Thomas know. The blessing is going to be the power of the Spirit in the life of an unbeliever. Now, let me show you how the Spirit works. Go with me to John chapter 20. Go back to John 20. Look at verse 31. So John closes out this section. He goes in verse 31. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life, eternal life in his name. You know what blew me away? And what blows me away every week, we're 2,000 years away from the resurrection. And every week, I get up here and I read the Bible. I read the Bible. I explain the Bible as best as I can. I try to make it so that we can all digest it. That's all I do. And then I say at the end of the service, who wants Jesus? And 30 people come forward. It's nothing that I've done. It's the power of the Word of God attached to the power of the blessing of the Spirit. And all of a sudden, God's Spirit convinces someone he is alive. You need to get saved. Get up forward right now. That's the blessing that Jesus is letting Thomas know that he missed out on. Jesus shows up to unbelievers. Jesus shows up when you're struggling in faith. But Jesus also shows up, church, when we're going off course to get us back on course. Take a look, John chapter 21, verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed up again. Anyone surprised? After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. That's in Galilee. And in this way, he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, so that's James and John, and two others of his disciples. We don't know who they were, but they were together. Simon Peter says to the group of six, I'm going fishing. They say, we're going with you. They went out immediately, got into the boat, and that night, look at it, they caught nada. They caught nothing. I got to give him some credit. Before Jesus died in Matthew 26, Jesus said to him, this is before he died, he said, listen, I'm going to die and I'm going to rise again. I'll meet you in Galilee. Then when he rose from the grave, he tells the ladies, go tell the brethren to meet me in Galilee. So he reminds them. So I got to give the disciples some credit. At least they've gone to Galilee. The Sea of Tiberias, the other name for it is the Sea of Galilee. They've gone back to the lake that Jesus found them at. That's where he told to meet them. So thankfully, they were obedient. But they got impatient. They didn't feel that Jesus showed up when they thought that he should show up. How many of you, Jesus has ever disappointed your timing? Like, you've been waiting to get pregnant, and you are telling Jesus, tick, tock, tick, tock. Well, what if he wants you to be like Sarah and wait till you're 75? No woman is coming back to church next week. But it's amazing that we've got Jesus on a schedule. Jesus, you show up when I want you to show up. And because he hadn't shown up yet, Peter goes, well, I'm not waiting around. I'm going fishing. You know the problem? When we go off course, we lead others off course. And the other six said, hey, we'll go with you. Why not? I mean, he ain't showing up. Gang, we got to be careful not to obey God our way. That's not obedience. That's actually defiance. I'll give you an example. I'm a parent. Okay, told my kids, I want you to make your bed before you go to school. Guess what? Everyone knows this story. I go in the room after Andre dropped them to school, and guess what? None of their beds are made. So they come home. I said, well, hello, everybody. Hey, guess what? You're all grounded. Well, why, Dad? Because I told you to make your bed. We were going to do it when we got home. No. I told you to make it before you went to school. So you then chose when you were going to make it. So God bless you all. You're grounded. And then they get mad at me like I've done something wrong. Let all the parents say, amen. 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 If God tells you to wait, don't wander. Don't wander. Don't try to help him out. Sarah tried to help God out, and it has wreaked havoc in the Middle East ever since Ishmael was born. When God says wait, wait on him. When God says tithe, don't tip. Pastor Chet, you're not going to talk about money. I brought a friend, and I told him you were funny. Don't talk about money. When God says tithe, do you tip? Let me give an example. I was teaching at a church, not this church. You guys are great, okay? Listen, not this church. I was teaching at a church, and after I finished the sermon, someone came up to me and said, you know what? You were really good. You were like watching a movie. So I decided you were worth a movie. I gave you $20. Oh, wow. You gave me $20. First of all, if you think I'm surviving off your $20, you got an issue, okay? But I said to the person, I said, listen, first of all, you didn't give me anything. That's what you gave God, and that's what you think God's worth. Three people clapped. It's not that it's about money. We can't serve God our way. Because I want you to take note of something. When they went out fishing, they caught nothing. I'm going to prove it to you. Go back with me to John 15, just about five pages over to the left. John chapter 15. John 15, let me show you what Jesus told them. He told them they wouldn't catch anything. Take a look, John 15 verse 1. John 15 verse 1. I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. That is a three-part sermon right there alone. Verse 3. You are already clean because of the word. In other words, they believed in the word of Jesus and were saved, which I've spoken to you. Verse 4. Abide in me, otherwise stay connected to me, and I'll stay connected to you, or I'm in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine or stays connected to the vine, neither can you unless you still stay connected or abide in me. Verse 5, I'm the vine, you're the branches. I'm where you get your nutrients from. He who abides in me or stays connected to me, and I stay connected in him, or I in him, bears much fruit. Look at this. For without me, say it with me, you can do nada. You can do nothing. He's already taught the disciples this lesson, that our connection to Jesus, and let me describe what that is, doing his will, his work, his way, is the only way that we will bear spiritual fruit. The disciples have gone off course. He said to go to Galilee and wait, and they began to wander. But none of us should be surprised. As the disciples, as the church was going off course, Jesus shows up. Go with me back to John chapter 21. Would you look at verse 4? John chapter 21, verse 4. But when the morning had now come, so they've been out there all night, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, I love this, children, he doesn't even call them brothers. They're acting like kids, so he calls them babies. He says, children, have you any food? This is big brother Jesus. You got to read the sarcasm into this. Little kids, little babies. They answered him, No. We're a little out of practice. We've been following this guy Jesus for 3 years, and now we can't figure out how to fish. No, we didn't catch it. Jesus always shows up when we're getting off course. The problem is sometimes we don't recognize him when he's trying to get our attention. Like you hear a sermon from Pastor Chet, and you go home. Can you believe he's talked about tithing? Can you believe he brought money up? He never brings money up, and he brought it up when I brought my friend. So embarrassed. I'm not ever going back to that church. Now, you haven't tithed in 6 months. And Jesus is showing up in your life to get you to be obedient. But because it looks like Chet, you don't recognize him. You don't recognize that he's trying to get your attention. You don't recognize that he's trying to speak a word to you. But I need to let you know, Jesus won't give up. He will always show up. And even though we may not recognize him, it could be because we've wandered so far. But Jesus has made a promise to his sheep that he will leave the 99 to get the one. It's a promise. And it doesn't matter what cliff you've jumped off, he will climb down that cliff and he will hook you with his shepherd's hook and he will bring you up that cliff and he will hold you. But I need to tell you something. If you keep going astray, he may break your legs. It's just what Jesus does. He will do anything to get your attention. And I love what Jesus does. Hey, children, have you any food? He's God. He knows I ain't got no fish in the boat. Let me tell you, this is the ultimate big brother, I told you so. I told you in John 15 that you can't do anything without me, and there you are at outfit. Hey, little kids, have you caught any food? I love big brother Jesus because they were called to be fishers of men, but they went back fishing. But remember I told you Jesus always shows up, and he always comes with grace and truth. And in John chapter 21, take a look what he does in verse 6. He redeems it. So he says to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. You know what the insinuation is here? The insinuation is that they were on the wrong side. Cast your net on the right side of the boat. But I also need you to see something. When Jesus shows up with the course correction was only the width of the boat. That's all it was. It was just the width of the boat. And sometimes we think our complex problems that we find ourselves in need some kind of complex answer. But can I remind you, course correction with Jesus is not a long journey. It's just turning a different direction. That's course correction with Jesus. You're going the way of the world. You're going the wrong course. And he just says, would you just go the right way and turn your net over the other side? It wasn't a big deal. Sometimes we make such a big deal when we're mad at someone and they need to pay penance. And Jesus goes, why don't you just forgive them? We make this complex situation too complicated for God, and he says, why don't you just go the right way? Church, course correction with Jesus is not a long journey. It's just a different direction. You see, Jesus, he's going to use this moment as a major teaching point in the disciples' lives to get them back on course. Look at verse 7. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, I love the issues between Peter and John. John writes this book and he goes, hey, Peter, just want you to know, I was loved by Jesus, and then there's you, okay? Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he'd removed it. In other words, he was in his bathing suit, so he puts his cloak back on, and he plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, just about 200 cubits or about 100 yards. They were dragging the net with fish. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid on it and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you've just caught. So Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, take a look, the net was not broken. So Jesus said to him, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus shows up. He always shows up. This is the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. What's amazing about this is they were worried about where breakfast was going to come from, and they're dragging a net of 153 fish. They're worried about it. Not only that, Jesus has already got fish on the fire. It wasn't their fish. It was Jesus' fish. Now, I don't know if he bought it at Ralph's. I don't know if he said, let there be fish. I don't know if he prayed to the Father and a fish jumped out of the Sea of Galilee right onto his fire. I don't know how it happened. But Jesus already had fish. He didn't need their fish. But he tells them, bring some of the fish which you have just caught. Now remember, this is going to make an indelible mark in their mind. And what Jesus is doing, he's reminding them to give back to God out of what he's given to you. Give back to God out of what he's given to you, no matter what it is, 153 fish or two fish. Now I need to let you know why it was counted. This was very practical. It's not a big deal. There were seven fishermen. They needed to divide it amongst themselves. So all fish was always counted. That's why John, who is a fisherman, very naturally would put in there was 153 fish. But this was a miracle. And I don't know if you missed it. I come from a fishing family. In fact, my grandfather, if you go to Green Turtle Key, Abaco, Bahamas, you will see a statue of my grandfather in the middle of the town square. The Bahamians give him credit for bringing commercial fishing to the Bahamas. I come from a fishing family. My mom's grandfather, my mom's dad, used to go fishing every Saturday, and every Sunday he would be there mending nets. Because you can't use nets fishing without the nets breaking. It's impossible. It never happens. So John is noting in his book, I can't believe it. We didn't have to mend the nets. Because when you're on course with God and you're doing his work, his way, and you're doing his will, there's no burden, there's no heartache attached to it. It's why Jesus said, come to me, I'll give you rest. Come to me, I will give you rest. when we stay on course, when we're obedient to his word, he's basically letting the disciples know, I got you. And you know what's amazing to me? They go out all night long for breakfast, and he's already got fish and chips on the beach. It blows my mind. They're worried about nothing. They never forgot this moment. They never forgot it. Do you remember the story when Peter is told to go to Cornelius' house? And he's there ministering the gospel in Acts chapter 10. You can look it up later. It's Acts chapter 10, verse 39. And he goes into Cornelius' house, and I want you to hear what Peter says about this very same breakfast. In Acts chapter 10, 39, it says, we're witnesses, chosen before God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. Jesus put Peter back on course. And this moment would keep them on course for the rest of their ministry lives. Now, I have followed the style of Jesus. I have taken many couples and many men to have breakfast with Jesus. And I'll meet them at San Pedro Cafe, or I'll meet them at Pacific Diner, and we will sit down and we will talk. And it's amazing to me that no matter what they're going through, Jesus shows up. Some of us need breakfast with Jesus. It's called your devotions, where you are eating up the word, spending time with Jesus, letting him speak into your life. Because I want to tell you something. Course correction with Jesus is just turning a different direction. I set you up. But you know I always set you up. So I asked you a question. And earlier I asked you a question. I said to you, hey, how many of you know something that you're struggling with and you haven't done anything about it? Go ahead, I want to see your hands. Now, look, now not everyone's going to raise their hand because you're wondering how I'm going to set you up. Now, don't lie. I'm asking you a question again. Listen again. How many of you raise your hand, you know there's something that God wants to deal with, and you haven't let him deal with it yet? Go ahead, raise your hand. I'm going to see you. Okay, now, great. I didn't want any liars walking out of here. Why don't you let him show up and recognize right now he's trying to deal with it? Why are you making it such a big deal? What's amazing to me is when I said, how many of you know something in your life that needs to change and it hasn't changed? Some people went like this, like you know it. Do you know what that means? You're stubborn. You got a hard head. But what did I tell you? Jesus always shows up to the hard heads with a harder head. He will not give up. He always shows up. And I believe he wants to show up in your life right now. I'm not going to have you come forward, but I want you to have a moment with the Spirit, because the Spirit is still convincing people that Jesus is right and you are wrong. He's still doing it. He convicts or convinces the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He goes into the unbeliever and he says, listen, you're wrong. Jesus is right. And he also convicts the believer. Why don't you, like he did with the disciples, why don't you just turn over to the right side? You're on the wrong side. That's the blessing that Jesus pronounced over us, the Spirit. So church, I'm going to give you a moment. Would you ask the Spirit to give you the strength and the power to deal with the thing that you've not dealt with? Would you just confess it to him? And then will you just go the right direction? Just cast your net on the right side. And here's what's going to happen. The spiritual fruit in your life by doing what Jesus is telling you to do. He's showing up right now by his Spirit. He's ministering to you. I can sense his presence. So would you take a moment? Let the Spirit search and know your heart. Listen to what he's saying. He's telling you, could you please go on the right side? You're on the wrong side. Maybe he wants to change your marriage. Maybe he wants you to forgive because bitterness is only destroying you, not the person you're bitter at. Maybe he wants you to obey in something that you've just not been obedient in. And if that's you, would you just raise your hand and surrender? I just want to pray for you. Yeah, Lord, I just pray for every hand that's raised. Your Spirit is moving. It's what your Spirit does. And we lift our hands and surrender. Thank you for showing up. You always show up. And I pray that as I cast my net now on the right side, spiritual fruit would abound. Change me, Lord. In Jesus' name. Let all God's people say.
Thanks for listening, and we hope you were encouraged by today's message. If you have any questions or just want to check us out, make sure to visit us at ccsouthbay.org. God bless you guys, and we'll see you next week.